Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. So this is going to be the episode before Christmas. It's time for another Puppies.
Puppies.
Wine and snacks. And if you're Abby, peppermint oil.
Oh, Katie, I feel like garbage poo-poo.
Someone drank a 12-pack of Busch Latte last night.
I did. Well, I had 11 beers last night.
One this morning.
Oh, well, remember, you know, this is the thing, is like, I should have known this was coming. You totally have like ESP, because last week, remember, we were talking about how those Zoom happy hours just hit you hard in a different way.
Yes, I hate them.
That's what I had last night, is we had one of those happy hours for work. And I mean, Busch Light was flowing like a fine wine.
How are you feeling today?
Not well, bitch. I feel like garbage doo-doo. I woke up wearing a t-shirt, my bathrobe, no pants or underwear.
Hey, Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Was your hand in the honey jar?
Hand's always in the honey jar.
I'm bad.
And, you know, I mean, when I'm drunk, I'm notorious for taking a shower. And I was like, oh, I must have taken a shower. And then
Abby,
I confirmed that by going into the bathroom and seeing that everything that was on the shelf in my shower is now on the floor of my shower.
Perfect. You just walked in there and... Sean says that I Godzilla when I do that. I come in and I just, like, wipe things off the counter.
Oh,
Oh, he also called me Jurassic Park last night.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm a velociraptor. Why? I don't know. Something to do with my pinky toenail. We're not going to get into it. Bullshit.
Speaking of things from last week's episode, I did want to bring up, I was shocked to learn that the denim couch at your family's house is not the only denim couch out there.
That's insane to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to need like pictures tweeted to me, Katie Radio 1.
Please send us pictures of your denim couch if you have one, because I mean, I still think they're a rarity, but to know that there's more than one.
Dude, this is like some Baby Yoda energy, because when they found Baby Yoda, they were like, I know of one other of its kind. I need to know who is the Grogu to Yoda.
So one of our four listeners, Meg, had texted me saying that her family had a denim couch
up. It's a beautiful thing. I gotta tell you, I need to talk about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City first.
Oh yeah, let's do
We're going backwards.
Okay.
We're gonna flip it. Wait, what's that Missy Elliott line?
Put your thing down, flip it in reverse. It's your flipping it between yet or something like that. I don't know. That's how I sing it when I'm in my lesbaroo.
As one does.
Jamming out to Missy Elliott.
Can I just circle back to the fact that I don't listen to the lyrics of any songs ever, which is the weirdest thing for someone who works in radio. 3 years later, I'll be like, wait, that song is about that? Yeah, did you listen to the lyrics? No, never. Am I supposed to?
I just know I like it or I don't.
I'm just like, Here we go. All right. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Abby, right. Sundance Film Festival is here, and Lisa is so busy.
I know. I was like, I get it. You know, you think that you are the reason that Sundance is even up and running.
Some people call me the queen of Sundance. I just say I'm really good at what I do.
The more I get to know her, the more I do not like her.
I don't know. I get Vicki Gumbelson energy from her about how I'm so busy.
I work.
Oh, I love it. I need some Coda insurance. But I do have to say, Lisa's husband, John, might be a newcomer to the top five of fave house husbands, because he is like husband / personal assistant / emotional punching bag. So this opening montage is kind of like showing what each of the ladies are doing. And Meredith's gown for whatever she is going to wear that to is giving me Morticia Addams. Why is no one addressing this?
I said the same thing. I'm like, why is it a costume party?
Take
to
that
be
off.
Morticia Addams?
Right. Also, Jen is roller skating. See, I can roller skate better than I can rollerblade.
I can't tell you the last time I did either.
I think I did it my freshman year in college, and we roller skated down State Street, which is very safe. obviously, from the top to the bottom. So anyone who's not familiar with State Street in Madison, Wisconsin, it goes from high to low in a general downhill slope. So me and my roommate, Mandy, we were most likely drunk, started at the Capitol and just roller skated right down the street.
Down to where campus is?
Yeah, down to where's the place with the buffalo on the wall that you kiss it on your birthday? Bratz?
Well, Bratz is at the end.
Yeah, that we went from there, the Capitol to Bratz. And there are buses and cabs, pedestrians, and me and Mandy roller skating, drunk.
And here's Katie. Ooh, having so much fun.
It is a miracle that I am still here to this day, ladies and gents. Anyways, so we find out that Jen is planning a party, which it literally took me to the end of the episode to put two and two together because there were so many parties going on at once. We had Lisa planning the Sundance parties. We find out that Whitney's planning something for the sexiest motherfucker in the room, his birthday. We'll get to that. And then Jen is throwing a party for her cousin who did this documentary, and it's going to be in her chalet.
Which, of course, as soon as I heard the word documentary, I was like, I need to look that up.
Well, it was about those guys.
The rappers.
Mm-hmm. So we hot tub at Whitney's house, and it's more of Jen shit-talking Mary. And I was very distracted by Jen's boobs the entire time.
100%. So I had to ask you, because I don't think I looked at her face once in that entire scene, because I was honestly trying to find out if that was her areola in her swimsuit. Like, if I was actually, was it a nip slip? Or how does that swimsuit work?
Was it nets?
It was, like, net down the middle. And then on the sides, it was, like, not net. It was, like, you know, you couldn't see through
opaque.
It. And then in between, it kind of like intermingled. And I would assume that like where it intermingled is where like it should cover your areola. But I felt like, especially on her left tit, like you could straight up see the areola.
I don't know. Her frame is so tiny and her boobs are so huge. And I was just that meme of the lady with the numbers going all across it. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
No.
There's the meme where it's the blonde lady and she's thinking and there's like math problems going all across.
Yep, got it.
Abby, do you know what the internet is?
The World Wide Web?
Correct.
Tell me more.
It's there. So Whitney's throwing her husband Justin a birthday party with a party bus. What could go wrong?
I love a good party bus.
I bet you do. I have a question for you, Abby.
Yeah.
When Meredith calls to check on Lisa about how all the Sundance parties are going and Lisa's having a full side conversation while on the phone, were you triggered?
Yes. I can't tell you the last time I've had a conversation with you where you are actually talking to me, because 90% of the time you are talking to someone else, yelling about someone else, taking a completely other phone call, having a full-on conversation, ordering food at the drive-thru, and I am still responding to you as though you're trying to talk to me because, I don't know, we're on the phone together.
Multitask.
That's not multitasking. You will just start talking to someone when I am having a conversation with you and I have no clue what's going on.
So let's talk about this birthday party for Justin, which is Whitney's husband. And they start at their house where they're doing body shots.
I don't think I've ever done a body shot.
I did a body shot. Well, we were together. I just remember that one bar that used to be a McDonald's. And I was
Reverend Jim's.
There was a body shot there. A body shot. I don't know if I said shard.
Body shard.
There's a body shard there.
Different thing.
Sorry. So the party goes from Whitney and Justin's house, party bus, where people are literally swinging from the fucking rafters.
I think I've been on a party bus like that, like really nice, like a nice one like that, like once. The typical party buses that I'm invited to are people that just like bought an old school bus and then they tore out all of the seats and then they nail other seats, like couches in there.
So a do-it-yourself party bus.
Yeah.
This used to be a mail truck.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, Richard Karn is 5'10". Richard Karn is Al Borland. And we said that he was 4 feet tall the last podcast. I looked it up. He is, in fact, 5'10".
House cleaning. This is the corrections corner of the episode.
Okay, so we arrive at Catherine's house for the actual party. And Catherine is a friend of the Roses. And she owns a club in Park City. And we cheers to Justin, who apparently is the sexiest motherfucker here, per Whitney.
Okay.
I was like, it's his birthday. We'll give it to him. You're sexy.
Yep. I do love that they like adore each other and they are party people. I do like that.
They are definitely party people. They are the party people.
Like, that's a married couple I could be friends with.
Yeah.
Anyway, at this party, Mary is posing and dancing by herself.
I love that for her.
And then she decides, her and Jen decide to kind of talk.
Well, Mary comes up to Jen. Jen doesn't want to talk to her. And Mary is like, I don't want Jen living in my head rent-free anymore. We got to squash this.
Correct. And when her and Mary talk, you know, Mary brings up the, you know, you said that I was a grandfather fucker. And Jen was like, I never said that.
No, I didn't.
In her confessional, Jen goes, well, I mean, if I did say it, I didn't say it to her because I wasn't talking to her. I may have said it to someone else.
I mean, I screamed it drunkenly, sobbing in a bar, causing a scene.
I know.
Mary, how so dare good. Your ears catch that? But I'm glad that at least Mary addressed that, because that was the whole reason why Mary was pissed that Jen didn't apologize to her at the lunch with the Louis Vuitton earbuds.
For sure.
Can we just address real quick before we move on to the cousin documentary party that Lisa, the queen of Sundance, has a babysitter for her nearly like 16-year-old son?
I was wondering about that. I'm like, is that like, why?
Or is it more for the little one so the 15-year-old can just fuck off and do whatever he wants?
Yeah, maybe it's because she doesn't necessarily trust the 15-year-old to watch the little one. That would make more sense. But it really does seem like she is babysitting both of them.
That's kind of what I thought too. Also, have you seen the movie The Babysitter?
With Alicia Silverstone?
Negative. I can't remember what her name is, but she's like a blonde actress and she's a babysitter for a kid who's like 15 years old. She's babysat him for a super long time. So he goes
is
to
this
bed.
A thing?
I don't know. So he goes to bed and then he wakes up in the middle of the night and finds out that all of her friends are over and they're like a part of a satanic cult and that they kill somebody because they have to do like a ritualistic killing. And he ends up witnessing it. The babysitter. Watch it.
Is this like a newer one?
Maybe it's like a year or two old. It's scary. It's on Netflix. It's scary, but it's funny. It's kind of like Jennifer's Body.
Okay. So this is the Babysitter Killer Queen, or maybe that's a follow-up. Maybe the Killer Queen is a sequel to it. The original was just the Babysitter.
Yeah. I definitely just Googled the baby shitter. Oops.
What is up with you today?
I'm on vacation. 2017, so The Babysitter.
For me to Google The Babysitter.
I don't know what comes up. Yeah, and then The Babysitter Killer Queen is the sequel, and it's not good, so don't watch that one.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Alicia Silverstone one that came out in 95.
No, Abby, I wasn't.
Oh.
Does it star Howard Hughes?
Speaking of other people like Howard Hughes, too, one of our other of four listeners messaged me.
K4, fabulous four.
And Jenny said that she, too, likes Howard Hughes.
You guys are freaks. I love it. So we've got some cuzzies going out for drinks, Whitney and Heather. Were you jealous of Heather's overalls?
100%. Mm. Yes. How did you know?
Because the first thing I said, oh, Abby's going to say some shit about those overalls.
I loved them. I love overalls. Well, you know, I have overalls that don't fit me anymore. And so my new goal after 2020 is to fit back into my pee-pee bibs.
Oh, my God, the pee-pee bibs.
Yeah.
Pee-pee bibs. Picture it.
Do you want to tell the pee-pee bibs story?
2 years ago, my birthday, we go out drinking, get kicked out of the same bar that we got kicked out 3 different nights during a 5-day trip. Abby decides that she needs to go to the bathroom, and instead of using the toilet in the frickin' hotel, she pees out in the sand into her bibs. Hashtag pee-pee bibs.
Yep, I definitely peed into my bibs. And the best part about it is that when I did this, I thought, oh, it's the middle of the night, so nobody will see me. When I actually did it, it was like 9 o'clock at night because we had gotten so drunk that we got home that early. Also, I left the patio sliding door unlocked and a stranger came into our room.
Yeah, and this is the best part, everyone. Abby was actually awake on her phone, heard the door open, heard someone walk into the bathroom and didn't bother to, I don't know, fucking roll over and see who it was. And we didn't know that it was a stranger who had walked into our room until the next day when there was this random hat with a poop stain on it. And Abby's like, is that your hat? And I was like, my hat doesn't have a shit stain on it. This chick walked in, took off her hat, set it down, used the bathroom, walked out the front door.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
As you were awake on your phone.
You guys, I'm not even as good as a guard dog. Don't take me anywhere.
Seriously. Or at least lock the door after she's in bed.
Pee-pee bibs.
Pee-pee bibs.
They start talking about Heather trying to get back into the dating pool. And Heather's just like, I don't think there's anyone really out there. I think Heather's amazing. I would sleep with Heather if she asked me.
Well, we will know what Heather's moves are later on. So we've got Jen's premiere party at her chalet for her cousin. And then here's the Vanderpump Rules crossover, which, if I can be perfectly honest, was very underwhelming.
I know.
Katie and Lala come in. I have to say, they have come a long way from not working on their summer bodies to coming to Sundance house parties together.
Agreed. This is the last piece of Vanderpump Rules that we might ever see.
I'm not mad about that, though.
Oh.
I feel like that show has run its course.
I guess.
Oh, you want more?
Well, I want more, but I want more of the original.
Yeah, true to
that. And I think it was just lightning in a bottle. Don't think you can recreate that.
That's so sad.
So Heather is always looking for sex, but not looking for love. And so that's perfect because Jen introduces her to a guy and we find out that Heather is terrible at flirting.
I thought she was awesome. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God. I was like, no, I literally wrote in my notes because she goes, she's feeling this vibe with Curtis. And I literally wrote, no. So that's why I was shocked when they left together.
Well, my notes say Heather is not a hero. She's a legend. She picked that guy up in 5 sentences and went out to bang in the production van.
100%. I mean, good for her. Maybe it's me who's really bad at flirting. And so I just can't recognize when someone is good at flirting.
She closed the deal. You suck at flirting. What is your definition of flirting?
I'm not completely unfortunate looking.
My game is having no game.
That's exactly what it is.
So that was awesome. I guess pretty much what's left in this episode, Meredith's house, her toilet overflows. It sets off the fire alarms. There's dog poop everywhere. And Brooks needs to be at a fashion show.
And Brooks asks, are you cooking something no less than 8 times?
As the toilet has water flowing everywhere. What is wrong with this house that the smoke alarm is going off when there's a flood?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
It was so funny. And then he's trying to turn the alarm off and he just goes, are you cooking something? Are you cooking something? Are you cooking? And she answered no every time.
So they get to the fashion show, and I would like to give 2 snaps to the low-key shade between Brooks and the makeup artist.
I know.
Because, like, so this chick is doing Whitney's makeup, and Brooks comes over because he's also in the show. And he's like, you know, what do I do? Do I do hair and makeup? And the makeup artist is like, do you have any concerns about your face? And then Brooks goes, I don't know, do you? And she goes, not from here! It's awesome.
She's like, you can just go to hair.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. So that was Salt Lake City. What a fun one. What a fun episode. So many parties.
That was a fun episode. Like, nothing too dramatic, just fun.
Just a lot. Do you want to do OC?
Sure.
Oh my gosh. Real Housewives of OC is a lot of COVID stuff. Not as fun as Salt Lake City because parts of it get kind of sad and scary, but then parts of it are pretty good. So Emily finds out that she has COVID. She tested positive. Shane is negative, but is super fucking sick.
Yeah.
And then Emily can't go on this girls trip because, you know, it's totally a good idea to go on a girls trip during a pandemic. But anyways.
To each their own.
True. True. So it's going to be Kelly, Gina, Elizabeth, and Bronwyn on the girls trip because Shannon also can't go because she's quarantining because her 3 kids tested positive.
I know. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And Bronwyn is pretty nervous about going on this trip because it's a party trip. I mean, like, you know, I've done that before where, like, I go to, like, a friend's cabin or something up north, and it really is, like, drinking all weekend.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And so if you are going through a phase where you are not drinking, that is not, I wouldn't want to go.
Yeah. Bronwyn says to Sean, if I call you, answer the phone. It means I'm having a nervous breakdown. And then she goes
more
to see
that.
Shannon. Yeah, more on that. Did you notice when Bronwyn went to go see Shannon that she was wearing those shoes, those $350 shoes from Nordstrom?
Oh, was she really?
Yes. Now I see those shoes everywhere. The garbage that. Shoes. $350. Kelly gets out to this cabin where the girls' trip is going to be first, and she says it's giving her Friday the 13th vibes.
She 100% does not understand how to use hand sanitizer.
Wait, I missed that part.
So there's a hand sanitizer station, like, in the front of the house, and she has her water bottle in her left hand and also her hat. And so she puts her hand under the hand sanitizer, and so she gets it. And it's like she stands there and she keeps turning, not knowing what to do because her left hand is full. So then she like puts her hat on her head and then kind of turns a little bit more and still can't figure it out. So then she just pats the outside of her left hand with the hand sanitizer and then walks in the door.
Maybe she's saving it for later, you know, a little pat, pat. I'll come back and revisit this at a different time.
Right.
Okay, so Kelly's there. Elizabeth shows up wearing a very strange outfit. Gina gets there, and they start talking about how Bronwyn, who I guess had been lecturing people on, you know, you need to not go anywhere, social distancing. There's a video of Bronwyn and her husband, Sean, at a pool, and they're supposed to be quarantining before this girl's trip.
And they're, like, hanging out with people. They're within 6 feet of people. They are not wearing masks.
No.
So, yeah, Bronwyn, what's up with that? But I will say that this pandemic has just brought out, a lot of hypocrites.
Well, it's a lot of, you know, I can do this, you can't.
I can't tell you how many of my friends I will see on, you know, or people I know, I will see on Facebook, socials, being like, hey, guys, we'd rather get a lockdown. Wear your mask. Be safe. Don't go outside. Da-da-da-da-da. And then they are out and about doing whatever the fuck they want without a mask on.
It's pretty crazy. But, like, Bronwyn totally walks in as they're talking shit about her. They're like, hey, look at this video of you that so-and-so sent. And speaking of talking shit, after they clear up the video thing, they're like, Shannon, you know, she's immunocompromised. And her kids are coming in and out. And John is coming in and out. And Bronwyn gets so pissed that they're even just, like, mentioning Shannon's name without her being in the room. She walks out very Kelly Ben Simone style from Scary Island.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, okay, so Bronwyn doesn't want you talking shit about Shannon or even just mentioning Shannon's name, but you can literally dig up financial records from Elizabeth.
Exactly. And that's okay. The thing is, like, when Gina's like, what is your problem? She's like, well, I don't want to talk shit about Shannon. First of all, nobody was talking shit
they
about
were saying
Shannon.
I'm concerned about her.
Yeah. It was more like, I'm worried about her. She's got compromising health things. And then, you know, people are going in and out of her life. Like, I'm worried. It wasn't saying, like, she's a piece of shit.
But, dude, when they were talking about Bronwyn hiring a photographer to follow her around and take professional photos while she was at these Black Lives Matter protests.
Is that true?
I don't know.
Because that's weird.
I feel like at some point they're going to call her out saying, like, were you really there at the protest because this is what you believe? Or is this some sort of publicity stunt? I surely hope it's not a publicity stunt because that's disgusting. But that was just something that was mentioned from Kelly and Elizabeth.
So Shannon then has like a Zoom call with her kids and asks them 1,000 questions. And I was like, I think if Shannon were my mom, I would have had a mental breakdown by now.
I don't feel like they're very nice to her, though. It comes that's from true. A place of love.
It does come from a place of love. But she's like, okay, you guys have to take this. You have to do this. And then are you doing this? Do you have this? I would literally be like, mom, we're not talking about this anymore.
They snuck out of the house to go to a party and that's how they got sick. So
the least they can do is put up with their annoying mom.
Yeah, like suck it up, buttercup. Take your supplements.
So take your supplements.
Yeah.
So we find out that Bronwyn isn't actually staying at the house, which again is a great idea. If she's not drinking, like you don't want to stay in a house full of a bunch of women that are drinking. And so Gina's talking to her and Gina gets a little intrusive with her questions. And she's like, how is your marriage?
Well, because, okay, so just how Whitney and Justin are the party couple, that was Bronwyn and Sean. And if that is one of the big things that kind of bonded them, what if this is all they had in common?
Oh, that's sad.
Right?
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
And so Bronwyn says they have not had sex in a really long time and COVID has been really hard on them. Plus, obviously, she's going through this non-drinking thing. Mm-hmm. And she describes their relationship as passive-aggressive roommates.
That's rough.
So the girls decide to go down to the beach and paddleboard and kayak and just like do fun things like that. And this is where Bronwyn once again walks into a situation where someone's talking mad shit about her.
Okay, so Kelly's like FaceTime Shannon is like, I got into it with her. But Kelly, I can only imagine, is like the loudest talker of life. And I'm sure Bronwyn like heard her name once. It was like, what the fuck? And we wanted to go up there and see what was going on.
And so Bronwyn is literally like walking around her. And at no point does Kelly realize she's around. And so her and Shannon are just openly talking shit about her.
Well, I feel like she saw that she came up at one point and didn't care. I was like,
that would be a fucking Kelly power move. Meanwhile, back in the OC, Emily is pretty worried about Shane. At this point, she's taken him to the hospital, but because of all the COVID regulations, she basically has to like dump him in the emergency room and go back to her car.
Oh, that's awful.
I know. So she's always like, so she's just super worried, and she's not really, she can't get many answers unless he texts her. But of course he's the sick one, so it's hard for him to do that. And then the episode basically ends with Gina going to bed in a giant spider web.
That was pretty gross. Next episode, Elizabeth confronts Bronwyn for digging up her finances and then also has a panic attack, and then Bronwyn helps her.
Yeah. One thing I was going to say is, do you feel like Elizabeth's top abs are just like super sculpted?
I have looked at that myself, and I'm wondering, is this some sort of maybe smart lipo, or is that what it's called?
Oh, I don't know.
Very sculpted, though. Unless she literally is just gifted, and I am a bitter bitch. Look at my haunted fupa.
Take a look.
Take a look, Take everyone.
Take a gander. Haunted fupa. Let it haunt you as it haunts me every morning before I get in the shower.
It's magical. All right. Do you want to talk about Potomac?
Sure.
This is the first part of the Real Housewives of Potomac reunion. We were texting about Robin's hair today, and I need to know what you thought about the ladies' looks.
Well, you know I love Robin, and you know I think Robin is just the most beautiful creature that has walked the planet. I did not like her hair.
I just didn't like that it covered her face. She's so beautiful. And the way that they should have angled her out if she was going to do kind of a like a very dramatic side part, at least angle the woman out so we can see her face. She was wearing a bold lip. I love the dark lip. I thought that would look really pretty.
You know, overall, she's beautiful. She looks great. So what we know is that Monique has a binder of receipts and Ashley is six months pregnant. So that's some things good to know ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Karen really comes after Giselle.
Yeah, this entire part one was all about gunning for Giselle. Karen comes after her. Monique comes after her. I mean, we can pretty much sum it all up about that.
And Karen says that Giselle's fashion taste sucks. They rip on the way that Giselle dresses so bad. I don't think she dresses that bad, does she?
I mean, it's not great.
Okay, I have no fashion sense, so I shouldn't really have an opinion.
But it's not awful. Wendy says she suffers from pretty girl syndrome. Like, you're super pretty. You don't have to learn how to dress.
I would take that dig. If someone gave me that, I would take that as a compliment.
I'm too pretty to function.
And so Karen then says that she thinks that Giselle and Robin really contributed to the Candace Monique fight. Or at least that's what she like kind of alluded to on social media.
I feel like that was a reach.
I mean, they had a good point. They're like, the cameras were there. That was raw footage.
Like, Karen tweeted and she was like, the glee in their eyes. Was there glee, though? I thought they were appalled.
I thought it was terror in their eyes.
Yeah.
Andy calls Candace a disaster on Twitter.
Oh, Andy.
I don't feel like he usually has like a real opinion during these reunions. Like, you can kind of read what his opinion is, but he never says something that bold to someone. And I thought that was great. He was like, you're kind of a disaster on Twitter.
And he's like, I feel like your life will be better when you're not so terrible on Twitter, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
She was not okay with him saying that.
When they kind of confront Candace about like, she will just like say shit and she will hit below the belt. She says, listen, I can admit that I can use my words very well.
Exactly.
She can't admit defeat. She is working on getting an MBA in grad school, though, and her and Chris have now purchased a home. So that's exciting.
Man, the buildup to that announcement was intense.
Right? So really, like, what this reunion came down to and what we're waiting for the next episode is the binder.
Oh, I can't wait for the binder.
So Monique has this binder, and apparently it's got receipts on everyone. And they start talking about Giselle and her boyfriend, ex-husband, Jamal. And Karen says, it's true that you and Jamal aren't actually together, right? It's a fake relationship because he just had another baby with another woman.
Word on the street.
And Giselle says, well, that's not true. Monique goes, well, I've got receipts.
Yeah, and she has had very extensive conversations with someone who Jamal has been dating. Screenshots, she reads off his phone number. Giselle confirms that that's his phone number. And at some point, this woman who he's been dating is like, you know, are you sure you should be traveling back to Atlanta if you're trying to put your family back together? And he's like, oh, that's just for reality TV. That's not real. So it basically confirms this theory that Karen and Monique have that Giselle is only, quote unquote, dating Jamal to keep her job on the show. Is it a storyline?
And pretty much how this first part of the reunion ends.
Robin was trying to stand up for Giselle, like, well, what's your point? You know, what is the point of you doing this? And Monique's like, well, Giselle had no problem spreading rumors about my family, which she did. She was in her confessional talking about the rumor about Monique hooking up with the trainer and then saying Big Boy found out. And then it's when Monique was like, you know, what did she call him? A holy pastor whore or something?
Yeah, something like that.
And she's like, keep calling my husband Big Boy. I was like, oh!
Love it when Monique gets on a roll.
So we're going to get more of the reunion next. And Real Housewives of Atlanta, we get to meet the new housewife, Drew. And then we meet LaToya, who I love.
Which, how is LaToya not a housewife?
I don't know. I don't know how they pick friends of or housewives.
And I felt like LaToya had more screen time than anyone else this episode.
I love me some LaToya. I was a big fan.
Yeah. So we meet her because her and Kenya are like suddenly BFFs. And Cynthia's like, okay.
You're never friends with any new person. And all of a sudden you're inviting her over to your house.
Right.
So what were your thoughts on the new housewife, Drew?
So number one, as soon as I saw her, I was like, I know this girl. I have seen her in something. What is she in? Trying to figure it out. And then she fucking says it. She played T-Boz in Crazy Sexy Cool, the TLC story.
There it is. She's also very pretty, and she's a really good singer.
Mm-hmm.
But her husband is Peter 2.0.
He's garbage. I hate him.
Holy balls. Drew's first episode on the show, and he is just being so awful to her. Oh, my God. They were talking about a fight that they had. He brings up some bullshit during their anniversary dinner. He won't tell her where he was for 3 days. Where was he, Abby?
He was in Tampa.
Tampa, of course. Can you believe that he just left? Wouldn't answer his phone or tell her where he was.
But that's the thing. It's like, okay, not only did he leave, it's like he snuck out of the house. She didn't even know he left.
That is so shitty.
And then, as if that's not bad enough, now he's been back for how long? And he still, up until this point, did not tell her he was in Tampa.
When she kept asking, where were you? He was like, what does it matter? How is that going to help you? How does that affect you? I'd be like, you're my fucking husband. I want to know where you are 24/7, 365. I want to know what's going on the inside of your eyelids where you're sleeping.
And then the other gross part about it is that, like, they have a security system. So they have, like, cameras within the house.
Yes.
And he spent his time in Tampa watching his family on security cameras, but couldn't tell his wife where the fuck he was.
That is insane. That was insane. I was not expecting that because when Drew was over at Cynthia's house, she seemed chill, right?
Yep.
I didn't get any loose cannon vibes from her. And I was like, oh, wait, so that's from your husband because he is OOC, out of control.
Total sidebar. If you ever get the chance to watch Crazy Sexy Cool, watch it. It's so good.
Here's the other corner of the podcast where Abby randomly talks about documentaries to watch.
Well, it's not a documentary. It's a movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And it's about TLC. And I also would like to note that when I was younger, me, my cousin Brianna, and Abby Laufenberg used to lip sync to Red Light Special off the TLC album, not knowing what it was actually about. But we would make up dance routines.
To Red Light Special?
Specifically to Red Light Special. Red Light Special all through the night. Baby, I'm yours.
Oh, here is my question for you, Abby. Ray, what do you think about Cynthia and this whole wedding nonsense, needing to get married on 10-10-20?
I don't get it. I mean, I guess I've never planned a wedding, so I've never been, you know, like really attached to like something specific regarding my wedding, but I don't understand why like the date is so important. You know, I mean, like I understand it's important for like colder weather versus warmer weather, things like that, but like she wants it on this date.
I feel like so many times we see Cynthia trying so hard to brand something.
Like 50 Cent.
Like that. Like chill, Cynthia Hill. Oh my God, stop trying to make fetch happen.
I think personally, I think she should just postpone the wedding, do it when it makes sense.
Well, we find out that she doesn't, and she ends up having the wedding.
Because when was it that
Oh, my God, 250 guests.
No.
Yes! I just looked this up.
How was that even, like, within the limits?
So they got married 10-10-20.
Okay.
Portia, Candy, Kenya, Eva, Giselle, and Karen all in attendance. The wedding had many protocols in place amid the pandemic. Everyone wore a mask. But I'm telling you, like, Giselle was on Watch What Happens Live, and she said at one point everyone took off their mask, probably when people went to eat or go to the bar, and then it just got not. I don't know. Whatever. So we'll find out more about that
after the break.
Do you want to talk about anything else, or are we good?
I think we're good. I don't think we need to talk about Southern Charm anymore. Oh. Why did I write thank you for coming to my TED Talk under my Southern Charm notes?
I don't know. Was this before or after 11 Busch Lights?
This was before 11 Busch Lights.
You're like, shut the fuck up.
I know. It says, thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Madison breaks up with Austin.
But yeah, they broke up, and I'm totally okay with that. But I also am just, I feel like Madison is also too good for John Pringle, and I think she just needs to move on from both of these guys, to be perfectly honest with you.
Get out of Charleston.
Yeah, I know.
Find a bigger pond.
So, okay, well, we will talk to you not next week, but the following, because next week is like Christmas, and I'm making a, since I am not going back to Wisconsin, I'm very sad for Christmas, I'm making a Wisconsin-inspired Christmas Eve dinner, including ham, cheesy potatoes, cottage cheese, 7-layer salad, and ham-wrapped pickles with cream cheese.
Yes, pickle roll-ups.
So good. My best friend, Abby, I love you.
I love you. Where can people find you, Katie?
Katie, K-A-T-I-E, Radio 1, and I am now on TikTok, everyone.
What?
I know.
You keep me young, Summers.
Finally was like, okay, I just need to figure out how to make a video. It's super easy. I made peanut butter snowballs, a little food video.
Ooh, neato.
Yeah. So, all right, where are you, Abs?
I'm at Abby Ray WI. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Insta. And, you know, hey, send us those pictures of denim couches if you've got them, because I'm fascinated by that decor choice.
It's legendary.
I hope our four listeners enjoyed this episode.
All right. Merry Christmas, Aunt Abby.
Merry Christmas, Katie.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.